Today, on The Journey,
Paul begins to address some issues in marriage. How do you stay together? When can you split up? What are some practical things that you need to know regarding marriage?
Making a good marriage takes hard work. It works well when nurtured. When neglected, it doesn't work at all. So today, Ron Moore offers workable guidance for making your marriage healthy and good. Also, we're offering for a gift of any amount Ron's booklet titled, A Biblical View of Sexuality. Its scriptural references and relevant instructions celebrate God's gift of sex and encourage its proper use. You can get yours at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Real Marriage, Nourished, on The Journey.
Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at chapter 7 today as we continue to work our way through this book. And today we're going to look at this issue of marriage. Paul has so much to say about marriage and relationships through the book of 1 Corinthians. So let me give you a little backgrounder on our topic today. Paul starts the church in Corinth on his second missionary journey. He goes there, he introduces people to Christ, he disciples them. He stayed there for 18 months building the church there. That was his second missionary journey. He then goes back to Jerusalem, and then he goes on his third missionary journey. It's now about 5 to 7 years later, and there's a group that comes from Corinth over to Ephesus where Paul is on his third missionary journey. And they said, Paul, we got some issues in this church you started. You won't believe this, Paul, but there are divisions in the church. The church is getting ready to split up. Paul, you're not going to believe this, but you know the sexual immorality and the culture of Corinth, it has seeped into the church. And the leaders of the church aren't even addressing it. They're not doing a thing about it. And Paul, this is going to be crazy, but people are getting drunk at communion. They didn't do the little cups like we do today, right? Couldn't get drunk on those, I don't think. And Paul, we got some issues in our marriages. It's a mess. So Paul begins in chapter 7, verse 10, to address some issues in marriage. How do you stay together? When can you split up? What are some practical things that you need to know regarding marriage? Strong Christian homes are one of the most powerful statements that Jesus transforms and changes lives. Paul's going to tell us today, this thing is for keeps. Look at verse 10 and 11. Paul says, to the married, I give you this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. So Paul is saying there that marriage is for real. To the married, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. Now, when Paul puts out this word married, we all know, man, there's a lot right there in that word married. I mean, that's a lot of history and a lot to unpack as we think about marriage. We have 4 kids and 3 daughters. So when Brittany got engaged, I just went into denial. That's the best way for me to work it. And when Garrison got engaged, I said, thank God I don't have to pay for that. So that was good. When Laura got engaged, I went back into denial. And then Mackenzie just got engaged, and so I'm in denial now. And I forgot all the stuff that goes along with this. They've had like 150 appointments to find a wedding dress. And I've never done this before, but Mackenzie and Lori and Laura talked me into going wedding dress shopping. That was the most foolish thing I have ever done in my life. That was miserable the whole time. I was about as useful as the G in lasagna. I just heard that last week. I couldn't wait to share that with you guys. Some of you will get that this afternoon. I really like that a lot. And then there's the food, right? You got to get the cater and all that. You know those little meatballs wrapped in bacon? Those things are about $2 a pop. Think about that when you stick that toothpick into this. And you volunteered to do all this. No one made you get married, right? You stood before all those people you invited and you said, I take you to be my wedded husband and wife to have and to hold from this day forward. For better or what? Worse. For richer or for poorer. In sickness and health until death do us part. That sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? But you know what? It even gets more serious. Listen to this. The Pharisees begin to question Jesus about marriage and divorce and all this stuff. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus answered them, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And then Jesus quotes Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now Jesus gives the commentary. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. And then listen to what he says. What therefore God has joined together. Not about the marriage license. It's not about the law of the land. What God has joined together, let not man separate. So your marriage is on record in heaven. And that's why Jesus said to the married believers, I give you this charge, not I, but the Lord. Matthew 19, that the wife should not separate from her husband, nor the husband divorce his wife. And if you do, you got two options. One, stay unmarried. Or two, go back and get it right. If at all possible, reconcile. At the Bible Chapel, we always counsel for reconciliation, even when there are biblical grounds for divorce. And there are two biblical grounds for divorce. Let me give you one, and then we'll look at the other one in this passage. The first one is this. The Pharisees are talking to Jesus again. That same passage, Matthew 19, the Pharisees said to him, wait a minute, you say God joined this together. I don't get it, Jesus, because why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and send her away? And he said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses allowed for you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning, wasn't so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another commits adultery. So he says, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. But there's that exception clause in the middle there, that first reason for divorce. And what is it? Sexual immorality. So the first biblical grounds for divorce, one of the two, is sexual immorality. If there's adultery, you have biblical grounds for divorce. Again, we always counsel for reconciliation, and there have been some beautiful stories. But there are biblical grounds when one has had an affair. There's another biblical ground for divorce. Look at chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. Now to the rest. So this would be those who are not believers, or particularly he's talking to a couple where one is a believer and one's not. Maybe the husband's a believer, the wife's not, or vice versa. Paul says, to the rest I say, I, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. So Paul went into Corinth and he had these unbelievers. And so let's say the wife becomes a believer, but the husband doesn't. And Paul's saying, so you're a believer wife, your husband isn't. But if your husband says, you know, that's fine, we're not on the same spiritual page, I get it, but I love you and I love our family and I want to be with you, then Paul says, that's fine. Do not separate from them. Don't divorce them or don't leave them. Look at verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. And what's Paul talking about there? He's not saying that your wife is now a believer. If she was an unbeliever and you became a Christian, now she's a believer or vice versa. Paul's just saying that in your marriage as a believer, you are going to be a channel of grace. You're going to be a spiritual blessing in your marriage. And we have examples of that. You can jot down Genesis chapter 30, verse 27, where Jacob is a believer. He's in Laban's household. And it says Laban's household was blessed because of Jacob being there. When Joseph was in Potiphar's household, Genesis chapter 39, 5, the house is blessed because of Joseph. So if you're a believer in the household, you're a channel of grace. And who knows that God might use you to bring your spouse to the Lord. Look at verse 16. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? Who knows when God's going to bring that person to himself and how he'll use you to do that? So keep praying that God would bring that unbelieving spouse to himself. Look at verse 15. But Paul says, if the unbelieving partner separate. So the unbeliever says, I can't do this. I'm not on the same spiritual page. I don't get it. The unbeliever partner separates, then so be it. In such cases, the believing brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. And so you have two biblical grounds for divorce, adultery and abandonment. And some of you I know are saying, well, time out. What about abuse? What about physical or emotional abuse? That's a great question. I wish there was a verse that said, when this happens, divorce is okay. When this happens, it's not okay. When this happens, it's okay. When this happens, it's not okay. There's not. All we can do is to say what Scripture says. Can't say more than that. So we can say for certain a biblical grounds for divorce is adultery and abandonment. But these others are real issues that we got to deal with. How do we even approach that then when Scripture is kind of silent? We do two things. We look at the truth of Scripture and the character of God. So a couple of things here. First, if a person is in a physical or emotional abusive relationship, get out now. We would never counsel for you to stay in or go back to an abusive relationship. Never. Second, we would never counsel for a person to stay or go back to a relationship where their children are in danger, physically or emotional or sexual abuse. Now, that doesn't mean immediate divorce. Just like we would always counsel for reconciliation, we would try to get this person help. They're sick. Repentance, transformation, reconciliation, that's always the goal. Even when adultery occurs, even when we have these biblical grounds, we're always counseling for restoration. God does some beautiful things there, but we would never have you stay in a dangerous situation. And the sinister thing about abuse is it's not only sick, but it's cyclical. All these tearful apologies, and then you're right back into it. So again, in Scripture, we can only say here are biblical grounds for divorce, adultery, and abandonment. But let me say this, just so we're clear. While issues other than adultery and abandonment cannot be claimed as explicit grounds for divorce, we can't say what Scripture doesn't. Separation should occur. And ultimately, divorce may occur for safety and protection. Let me say one other thing before moving on. If you're in a dating relationship and you ever see your partner demonstrate physical, emotional, verbal abuse, if you're ever forced to do anything you don't want to do, get out of that thing right now. Because it's not going to get fixed once you say, I do. Now, I know when you confront, there'll be all these tearful apologies. That's the pattern. But abuse is sick and cyclical. So at the end of the day, here's what we know. The beauty of marriage and all that marriage encompasses, it's a great gift from God, and it's to be taken seriously. You're in this thing for keeps. You're in this thing to demonstrate to a world that God truly can transform lives. And then for your kids, the stability, the love that's shown. Don't tell me it's going to be better for the kids if you divorce. I know. The kids are resilient. If you really believe that, I got a book for you to read. It's called The Unexpected Legacy of Divorce, a 25-year landmark study. It's by Judith Wallenstein. She is not a believer, but she followed divorced kids for 25 years, and it is heartbreaking. So if you think they're resilient, read the book. All right. Seven lessons we can learn from 1 Corinthians. The best thing you can do for your children is to have a healthy marriage. There is no substitute for a healthy marriage. Well, it'd be better if we split because we're arguing all the time. Well, it'd be better if you don't argue all the time. So get that fixed. Have a healthy marriage. Your kids will benefit from that. They are going to be blessed by that. And when you don't, generations are going to be impacted by it. Three of our kids went to Grove City College, and I spoke at Grove City Chapel one time. And when you speak there, they have one of your children introduce you. So my son Garrison introduced me, which I was a little nervous about, honestly. And then he said, I could say a lot of things about my dad. And then I got really nervous. And then he said, but the only thing I really want to say and the best thing I can say is he and my mom have been together for 32 years. See, it didn't matter to him, the Disney World trips. Well, we never took them, but there's counseling for that later on. Those things didn't matter, but his mom and dad were together. And that's a story your kids would tell as well. The best thing you can do for your family is to have a healthy marriage. So do the things that nourish and grow your marriage. That's number two. Put as much work into the relationship of your marriage, businessmen, as you do running a business, as the strategic planning you do for your work. Put as much work into that relationship and nourish it. Now, I know, because I talk to couples and they say, I know we're the only ones in the church who are struggling because everyone looks so good. We all look so perfect. So if you think today you're the only one struggling, let me just say on behalf of all of us, we are all screwed up. We're all messed up. So put down your pride and do the things God's calling you to do. Teach good relationship values to your children. They're going to get married someday. Pray for your kids. We prayed for all our son-in-laws and daughter-in-law. We've been praying for them for 20 years. We didn't know who they were, but we were praying for them. So pray for them. And then teach your kids about relationships and restrict them from dating too early. The earlier kids date or like each other or have a relationship, sexual promiscuity goes through the roof. Have honest talks about the use of digital devices. That's not just pornography, but the gaming stuff. There are counselors now saying one of the things they're dealing with in new marriages are husbands who are on their phone all the time and doing gaming stuff, not even paying attention to their wives. Number five, young adults, predetermine who you will date and who you won't date. We do this thing here. We call it MATE, M-A-T-E. M is must have. Here are the things I must have in a relationship. I won't even start a relationship if these things are not involved. They got to be a believer. A, add-ons. These would be some good things that I'd like to have. And then that starts your personality and preferences. T, take it or leave it. They have a tattoo. I don't care, you know, one way or another. And then the E is end of the road. This relationship stops if this happens, or it never begins if I learn this. Do that with your kids. Just work it through. Mate. Number six, if you're involved in a serious relationship, contact us for an assessment before you buy the ring. When you buy the ring and it goes on your finger, it does something to your brain. You don't think clearly. You start getting the date, and then you got the venue, and then you got the caterer, and pretty soon you feel like you're too far in to make a decision that you know you need to make. Be smart enough to prepare well for your relationship. So maybe you didn't like this sermon. Because you said, you know what? I didn't do everything right. I got the scars to prove it. I'm on my second or third marriage. I got issues with the kids. I was the one who blew up the marriage. And so sometimes these are hard to hear. So if that's you today, I just want you to hear this. Take a deep breath and rest in God's grace and God's forgiveness. Aren't you glad? God is a God of grace and mercy and forgiveness. If not for that, we're all done. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die on a cross for your sins so that you don't have to carry the weight. So you can say, God, I am sorry. I can't go back and fix everything. But will you restore some of those broken pieces? And will you allow me to move on with this painful experience? Maybe I can help someone else out. Let me read you some passages about forgiveness. Isaiah chapter 1, 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They are as red as crimson. They'll be like wool. Isaiah 38, 17. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. In your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. Isaiah 43, 25, I am he who blots out your transgressions. Micah 7, 18 and 19, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight in showing mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Psalm 103, 11 through 13. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love to those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. One more. Acts 3, 19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Aren't you thankful for God's forgiveness? Second chances and third chances and fourth chances. He's a God who loves you and cares for you. And he's a God who wants you to do it right and gives you everything you need to do what he's calling you to do.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast. You know, it doesn't take a long look to see how sex-saturated our culture has become. Whether in television shows and movies, on billboards, or at the mall, one thing is certain. Our society doesn't hesitate to put sexuality and sexual topics right in front of us. But where is the church in this discussion? Far too often, Christians remain uncomfortably silent about sexuality. Parents are reluctant to talk to their kids about purity. Men and women, who desperately need accountability, keep their sexual struggles to themselves. And churches often avoid these difficult issues entirely. But because God created us and created sex as part of the human experience, we must talk about this vital topic. We need to know what God has to say about it and how we can apply those truths to our lives. To that end, Ron has written a thoughtful booklet called A Biblical View of Sexuality. It's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
Regardless of our circumstance, we live with an eternal perspective. We never let temporal things outweigh the things that will last forever.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. Also, we want you to have a copy of Ron's insightful booklet titled A Biblical View of Sexuality. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron again next time as we walk together on the journey.